Today's shiur in Masechta Sukkah Daf Chaf, we will begin on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, the Mishnah had begun to discuss about a machzelis, a mat. Under what circumstances can a mat be used for schach? Under what circumstances can it not be used for schach? And the Gemara had asked the question that our Mishnah seems to send different messages. What's going to be the halacha when the mat was not made specifically for sleeping on? Do I assume that that is what its stama is? Or do we assume that stama, it's not made l'shchiva? And the Gemara said that according to Rabbanan, there's a difference if it's a mat that's big mat or small mat. But then the Gemara asked that even if we're going to take such an approach in understanding the opinion of the Rabbanan of the Tanakhama, Rabbi Lezer in our Mishnah clearly indicated that whatever he holds regarding Machzelis, he doesn't differentiate between Gedoyl and Ketana. They both have the exact same halacha. So if that's the case, so how do we understand, again, what is the halacha if we don't know what was the intention, if it was stama? So Sat starts the shir. Elam Rava, Gedoyla, Vay Machzelis Gedoyla Kulam Le Pligi. There's no machloikus to stama l'sichach. We assume that it was meant for the purpose of schach. Ki pligi, where do we have a machloikus? B'ktanam. By machzelis ktanam, by a small one. Tanakam sover, stam ktanam l'shchiva. When we have a machzelis, a small one, we assume that it was meant for sleeping on. And unless it was expressly made for schach, we assume that it was made for shchiva. Rabbi Lezer's opinion is, stam ktananami, even a small one, if we don't know differently, we say it was meant l'sichuch, it was meant for schach. Vachkama. And now the Gemara explains how to understand the words of the Tanakhama and then the words of Rabbi Lezer in the Mishnah. Mechzel sakonim, if you have this mat made out of wood, gedoyla, and it's a large one, asu l'shchiva, if it was expressly made for laying on, mekabel tuma, so it's mekabel tuma, and it may not be used for schach. Tama, and the only reason that so is the halacha, dasa l'shchiva, because it was expressly made for the purpose of laying on. Hostama, was it not made for that purpose? It's tama machzelis, that was not made expressly for sleeping on. Nas k'mishi asa l'sichuch, it has the status as if it was made to be used for schach, and the halacha will be you may use it there for schach. And that's what the Tanakhama meant when he said l'sichuch m'sachemba v'en m'kabel el stoma, and it's talking about a big machzels. So according to the Tanakhama, a machzels g'doyla, if it was made for laying on, it's m'kabel toma, expressly made for sleeping on. Otherwise, the halacha will be, it can be used for schach. And continues the Gemara, the fact that Tanakhama only spoke about a large machzelis seems to be that only by a machzelis gedoyla is that the halacha. But by machzelis ketana, even if it was not made expressly for shchiva, we assume that is what people do with small machzelis, and therefore it's mekabel tuma, and therefore may not be used for sleeping, may not be used for schach. Vos Rabbi Lezer meima, and now Rabbi Lezer comes to say, as we said earlier, according to Rabbi Lezer, there's no difference in halacha between a gedoyla and a ketana. Achas gedoyla, achas ketana v'achas gedoyla, whether it's a small or large mat, stama, if we don't know that it was made for shchiva, we assume that it wasn't made l'shchiva, and therefore it's k'sher l'sichuch. So according to this, Rabbi Lezer is a mekel. According to this, Rabbi Lezer is not only the Rabbanan are lenient by machzelis gedoyla, and according to this, the Rabbi Lezer has the exact same approach to a Ktana and a Gedoila, and by both of them he's going to have the same din, and therefore he's a Mekel. Amalei Abaye says Abaye, if that's the way to understand Rebbe Lezer's opinion, Yehochi Rebbe Lezer Oyma Achas Ktana v'Achas Gedoila. The way Rebbe Lezer stated his opinion was Achas Ktana v'Achas Gedoila. It should have said, says the Gemara, just the opposite. Achas Gedoila v'Achas Ktana miboilei. Because the Gemara's question is that throughout Shas, so this way Rashi learns, that wherever we have a Tana say Achas v'Achat, you always mention the simpler halacha, the smaller chiddush before the bigger chiddush. And therefore, Rashi explains the Gemara's question. By Gedoila, there's no machloikas between the Tanakam and Rebbe Lezer. The machloikas between the Tanakam and Rebbe Lezer is limited to the Ktana. If that's the case, shouldn't the Rebbe Lezer said, Achas Gedoila, by there there's no machloikas. And then, Achas Ktana, that even though you say the Ktana on the normal, without knowing differently, is L'shchiva, I disagree. Tosfos has a problem with Rashi's pshat, because Tosfos says that he quotes a number of places in Shas that the Gemara first says, the Mishnah, Tana, first says the Chiddush, before it says, and then he says the halacha, which is not such a chiddush, was easier to understand. So he explains that even though I could show you, says Tosfos, cases where the Tana doesn't says the bigger chiddush first. However, in a case like our Mishnah, where it's not just the Tana is telling us two halachas, but he's coming to argue on another Tana, as is the case in our Mishnah, where Rebbe Lezer is coming to argue on the Tanakama, so there he always says the smaller chiddush first. And what he's saying to him, what Rebbe Lezer is saying to the Tanakama, by the Gedoila, I agree with you. It's only by the Ktana where I disagree with you. And that's why he should have said, according to the current explanation, it should have said Gedoila v'Ktana. And it says, but now Mishnah says Ktana v'Gedoila. Void, says the Gemara, ki pligi v'Gedoila pligi. We're learning, as we just said a moment ago, according to the current understanding of Rava, Rebbe Lezer is the Mekel in our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, ki pligi v'Gedoila pligi. Rebbe Lezer l'chumra. Why are you explaining that Rebbe Lezer is the Mekel, and not only is he Mekel by a Gedoila, but he's even Mekel by a Ktana? I'll show you a Braisa that says just the opposite. The Tanya, Machzels HaGedoila, Machzels HaKanim, Al Mat, B'Gedoila Mesach HaKabot, by a large one you could use for a Schach, Rebbe Lezer Oymen, Menem HaKabel's Tema, Mesach HaKabot. That means, if I know for sure that it wasn't made for sleeping, then you could use it for Schach. Otherwise, even though it's Machzels HaGedoila, I can't use it unless I know for sure that it wasn't made for sleeping. So we see that not only does Rebbe Lezer disagree with the Tanakama by Ktana, but he disagrees by Gedoila, and by both of them, he's Machmer. Not the way Rav explained that he's more lenient. And therefore, says Rav Papa, El Aram Papa, B'Ktana Kulam Le'Pligi. When we speak about a Machzal's Ktana, everybody agrees the Stam L'Shchiva, that it's made L'Shchiva, and it may not be used for schach. Ki pligi, where do we have the machlokes b'gedoila? Tama kamasavar, according to this explanation, or Papa's explanation, when we have a machzels gedoila, tana kamasavar, gedoila l'suchuch. Stam gedoila is meant for schach. Stam gedoila is not meant for sleeping, and therefore it can be used for schach, unless it was expressly made for sleeping. Rebbe Lezer sover, and then Rebbe Lezer holds, stam gedoila nami l'shchiva. Even a gedoila was meant to be for shchiva, and therefore, unless it was expressly not meant for shchiva, then it may not be used for a schach. My also shchiva to come up, but we asked the question in our previous year. The Mishnah used the words also shchiva. Isn't that an indication that only if it was expressly made for shchiva may it be used? May it not be used? Here we're saying it doesn't have to be made for Shechiva according to Rabbi Elazar. According to Rabbi Elazar, it's always considered as if it was also a Shechiva, unless we know for sure that it wasn't. Says the Gemara, Hachi Kamar. This is the way to understand what Rabbi Elazar meant with the words Osla Shechiva. To say, Stam Asiyose, Namil Shechiva, if it was made without any express intent, we assume it was made L'Shechiva, Ad Ovid, unless it was expressly made L'Sichuch. If it was expressly made for Sichuch, then the halacha will be that you may, then the halacha will be you could use it for Schach. Tara Bonim. Mechzel Shel Shifa, it's a type of grass, Veshel Gemi, all type, different types of grass. Gedoyla, if it's a large one, Mesach and Kambal, we can certainly assume that it was not meant for laying on, and it was meant for Schach, and therefore it may be used for Schach. Ktana, if it's a small mat, a Mesach and Kambal, it may not be used for Schach, because since it's soft, it's certainly meant for laying on, and since it's meant for laying on, may not be used for schach. However, if the machzels are made out of karem v'chilis, karem is sticks, and chilis is a type of grass that is very strong, very tough, it grows near the water. Gedoyla, mesach kimba, gedula, if it's braided together, mesach kimba, we could use it for schach, whether it's big or small, because since it's so hard, nobody's going to use it for laying on, and therefore it's certainly meant for schach, not meant for shriva. Aruga, if it was woven, one may not use it for schach, because since they wove, when they weave it, it's nice and smooth, and since it's nice and smooth, it's certainly meant for laying on, and since it's meant for laying on, it's mekabel tuma and it can't be used for schach. Whether it's small or large, whether it's woven or braided, that this type of mat that's made out of hard material under all circumstances may be used for schach. As we've been learning, the halacha of tuma and the halacha of schach in our shiurim have been traveling very much together. And that's why we said that if it's meant l'shchiva, so it becomes susceptible to tuma, because if it's susceptible to tuma smedris, if a zav or a zav lay on it, it becomes tamei. And once we established that so is the halacha, we're able to take it, we're able to use this to determine what is or isn't the kosher machzelos for schach. In order to introduce Be'ezer Hashem Yisborach, the next Gemara, we know that a mace is avi avos atoma. Any a person or kalim that touch a mace become an avatoma and a tamei for 7 days. If somebody, a person who touched the mace, who, as we just said, became an avatoma, they, and so if a person or kalim touch such a person, they become a rishulatoma. Unlike a tamei mace, who's tamei for 7 days, a rishulatoma is only tamei until the night, and with the raisa, a rishulatoma doesn't have the ability to be metama adam v'kalim. With the raisa, they only have the ability to be metama oichlam amashkin. A zov is also an avatoma, but there's a special tuma by a zov, just as we just discussed, that called tuma smedris. That if a zov sat, laid on an object which is meant to be sat on or laid on, that object becomes an avatoma, like the zov himself, who's an avatoma. When we speak about kliyets, wooden kalim, the halach is a kliyets, in order to be makabel tuma, has to have a base kibble. It has to have a receptacle. Because the Torah compares the tuma of a kliyets to a sack. However, there's one tuma that a kliyets does not have to have a base kibble for. And that is if it is for tumas medris. If it's meant to sit on or lay on, even though it doesn't have a base kibble, it's mekabel tumah. Not only that, if you have a kli eitz that's mekabel tumas medris, because it's meant to sit or lay on, so not only will it be mekabel tumas medris, it will be mekabel all types of tumas. Even though, as we just said, normally a kli eitz is not mekabel tumah unless it has a base kibble, but a kli eitz which is able to become tumas medris makes that this kli eitz should be able to be mekabel even tumas mes. Says the Gemara Tanan Hosom, the Mishnah in Masech the Idyas Perigimel, Mishnah Dalet teaches us kol achoitzlois, and the Gemara will soon define what achoitzlois are. Says the Mishnah, kol achoitzlois mitame tumas mes. They're considered a keli and therefore susceptible to tumas mes. If a mes touched, they came in contact with a mes, they become an avatuma. But they are not susceptible to tumas mes, to tumas medris. Divrei Reb Doisa. According to Reb Doisa, they're not meant for sitting or laying on, and therefore they're not mekabel tumas medris. The Chum say that the choitzlois are even meant to sit or lay on, and therefore they're also mekabel tumas medris. So the Gemara tries to understand the opinion of Chumim. Medris in. Does that mean that they only could be mekabel tumas medris, tumas mes loy, that these choitzlis cannot be mekabel tumas mes? But haven't we learned, and we said this halacha a moment ago, we learned in the Masech the Nida, daf mem tes omer aleph, that kol hametame medris, anything that's susceptible to tumas medris, metamim tumas mes. That even though it would be, as we explained, even though this is a kli eitz, that normally a kli eitz has to have a base kibble, has to have a receptacle to be mekabel tumah, this kli eitz doesn't have to have a receptacle to be mekabel tumah, tumas mes. Because since it's susceptible to tumas medris, it's also susceptible to tumas mes. Ema af medris. So says the Gemara, that's the way, absolutely, that's what Reb Doisa means to say. What Reb Doisa means to say is, what Chumim need to say is, the Daisa says it's not meant for sitting or laying. Since it's not meant for sitting or laying, but it is a keli, so that's why it's makabel tumas mes, not tumas medris. The Chumim say it's meant for sitting or laying, and since it's meant for sitting or laying, it's makabel tumas medris, and once it's makabel tumas medris, it's certainly makabel tumas mes. Because as we said, anything that's mekabel tumas medris is certainly going to be mekabel tumas mes. But now ask the Gemara, my choitzlis. Exactly what are the choitzlis? Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Dimi Bar Hamduri, Merzvoli. Ask the Gemara, my Merzvoli. What is Merzvoli? Omer Rav Abba, Mezabli. This is the knapsack of the shepherds who used to go with their knapsacks out to the field, and sometimes they needed to lay down, and they would use this knapsack for a pillow to lay down on. So that's the machlokes between Reb Doisa and the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold that it's susceptible to tumas medris because the roya lays down on it. Reb Doisa says that since it's not, that's not the purpose of a knapsack, and we've learned many times in our shiurim that when or how do we determine if something is susceptible to tumas medris or not, the way to make that determination is if somebody would sit on it, lay on it, and somebody else would come up, come and say, please get up, this is not what this was meant for, does he have to get up? Since, says Reb Doisa, this is the way Aruch Haner explains Reb Doisa, if somebody were to be laying on his knapsack, they would, if you would tell him, kum v'asem lachtecha, this is not what it's meant for, he would be right in making such a statement. That's why it's not metame tumas medris. I saw the Chazon Ish has a different explanation why it's not metame tumas medris. The Chazon Ish explains, since it was only used infrequently for that purpose, it's not enough to make it be considered tumas medris. Rav Shimon ben Lakish disagrees. And he disagrees, and he says a different interpretation in what choitzlis are. He says the mechtzalos mamish, that they are considered full-fledged gnats. V'az Rav Shimon Rish Lakish the Tavei, Dam Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said, and if they're real gnats, how do we understand the opinion of the Rav Doisa? Rav Doisa is going to opinion is because since they're very small, even though they're full-fledged mats, people don't lay on them because they're so small. Because the Gemara says, "Domer Shlokish, Hareni Kaparas Rav Chiya." So as the Mefarshim explained, the halacha is that when someone speaks about his father, a parent that was nifter, Rachman Tzlan, was Rebbe that it was nifter, for the first year after the Petira, when they mention the name of the parent, the Rebbe, they say, Hareini Kaparas Mishkavai. What's meant to say, what Hareini Kaparas Mishkavai, is that whatever should be happening to this person who was nifter should be happening to us. But the way that Agos Yaivitz explains, this statement that Rish Lakish was making now in the name of Rav Chiya, his Rebbe, was said years after Rav Chiya was nifter. But he so much felt the loss of his Rebbe that he said even years after his Rebbe, Rav Chiya, was nifter, that he continued using this type of a statement. So he says, Shebetchila k'nishtakach Torah Yisrael, when some of Klal Yisrael came from Bovotet Yisrael, and there was a situation, as the Tshuvas Rashba explains, the Torah was being forgotten. And the Rashba says that doesn't mean that all of the Torah was being forgotten. But he says, since the Pasuk says, Torah is Hashem Tamima, every word of the Torah is Kodesh, is holy, every word of the Torah is essential to the Torah, so even if we forget some details of the Halacha, it's as if all of the Torah was being forgotten. And when Klal Yisrael was coming up, and even though the word Nevi'im, Chagei, Zechariah, Malachi, members of Anshei Kedosh, Gedolah, as they were coming up, there was no one person who paid attention to every detail of the Torah, like Ezra. When Ezra came, Ola Ezra Mibavel, V'yazda. Ezra took it to his heart, as the Pasuk says in Sefer Ezra, Ki Ezra Hechenes Levavoi, Lidrash is Torah Hashem, Ulasos Ulalamid be Yisrael Chayku Mishpat. He took it to his heart to make sure that he should know all the details of the Torah to be able to transmit that those halachas to Klal Yisrael. I saw some of Farshim explain that he was particularly sensitive to teaching Klal Yisrael the halachas of Yichus Chazar v'Nishtacha. And then the Gemara says, in later generations, in the time of the Bnei B'Seira, as the Gemara discusses in Masechta Pesachim, they forgot what to do when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. They began forgetting halachas. Ola Hillel Bavli. At that point, Hillel Bavli, who learned Torah, Shmai v'Avtalion, came to Eretz Yisrael for Yazda, and he brought it back. Chazar v'Nishtakcha, and then it was forgotten again. All Rav Chiya born of Yisdua. So Rav Chiya and his children were the ones that brought it back. As the Gemara says in Masechta Ksubis, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, Rav Chiya said about himself, Ana Avidna Shloi Tishtakech Torah Yisrael. I worked that Torah should not be forgotten by Klal Yisrael. What he said was that he went to different towns and cities that had Milam de Tanaikis, those who taught Torah to young children, and he taught them Chamisha Chamisha, where there were no Rebbeim. So there was nobody to teach these children Torah. And he taught these children Chamisha Chamisha Torah, and he taught these children Shisa Sidra Mishnah. And the Gemara Masech Lanidah, Daf Chav Dalar Amar Aleph, teaches us that he did, that not only did he do so, even his Talmidim did so. And what he did was, he brought that, and because he did that, he brought a continuation of Torah and Klal Yisrael. And says the Gemara, says Rish Lakish reporting from Chiyu Banov, the Kenam of Chiyu Banov, Loinechuk Reb Dois V'chachamim Machzolos Shal Usha, Shein Tamoyes, everybody agrees that the Machzolos Shal Usha are Tomei Medris, they're meant for sleeping on, and since they're meant for sleeping on, they're a Keli and the Makabal Toma. And similarly, Shal Tferia, everybody agrees, Shein Tyrus, that they're not Mekabel Tumas Medris, because they're hard, and they're not meant for sleeping on. Aman Nechlaku, where do we have the Machloikis of Rabdois and the Chachamim? Al Shar Mekoymus. that some, most people don't lay on them, and some people do lay on them. Masava, kiven de lek de yosef leyu, since most people don't use this for laying on, ketveri dami. They're considered like the machzalos of Tveria, and they're not tamei medris, and they're not makabel tumas medris, and therefore they wouldn't masover kiven the mikri yosef leyu. Since some people do sometimes lay on that, it's enough to be considered kedusha dami. So we see the Rish Lakish explained the machloikus of Rabbi Dois Nechamim regarding machzalos, regular mats, and that's what was meant, says the Gemara, when we spoke about the machlokes of Dois Chachamim by Chaitzlois, or regular mats. So we just learned, says the Gemara, Amamar, Kol HaChaitzis Matamah Tumah Mes, Divi Reb Doisa. Reb Doisa held that the Makabal Tumas Mes, that they, Vatanya asked the Gemara, V'kenai Reb Doisa Ayma Kedvarov. The Reb Doisa held, like Reb Shmuel Reb Yossi, that a small machzelis is not Makabal Tumah, and he agrees with that. Says Maraloi Kasha, Hada Isle Gendamfa, if it has a rim around it, so therefore it could be used as a receptacle, because it has that rim that will keep anything you put in it. And therefore, it's Mekabel Tumah because it has a base kibbel. As we said, a Kli Eitz that has a receptacle is Mekabel Tumah. Vada Isle Gendamfa, but if it doesn't have a rim around it, so then it's only meant to be put on a sack on top of a sukkah, on top of a structure. It's not meant to lay on. It's not meant to put anything on, and it won't be mekabel tumah. We learned on Amud Aleph that Reb Doisa holds the chaitzlus are a kli, and that's what a mekabel tumah smes. But since they're not meant to lay on, they're not mekabel tumah medris. And we also learned a machloikis between Rav Dimi and Reish Lakish between what is considered chaitzlus. Rav Dimi said they are the knapsack of the shepherd. And Reish Lakish says they're mats, machzelas. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in a braisa, choytzel shesham, choytzel that are made out of grass, v'shal gemi, v'shal sak, hair of an animal, v'shal sifra, a different type of the hair of a horse, metamah to memeis, divrei Reb Doisa. V'cham oimrim, af a medris, they're also susceptible to tumas medris. So says the Gemara, according to Reb Dimi that explained that choytzlos are these knapsacks, we could understand the different types of knapsacks that were mentioned here. Shalsham, why do mekabel tumah? Because shalsham and shalgemi, even though they're not made strongly and they have holes in them, chazal kinsa de peri, they could be used to hold a basket of fruit. Shalsak v'shalsfira, Chazal gulki v'tzani can be used to hold different types of bags. And therefore, they're all meant to be mekabel tumah. And that's why they're all mekabel tumah smes. Eleman d'amma machzolos mamish, bishlam shel sak v'shel sfira, the ones that are made out of sak and sfira, and they're woven nicely. So that's why chazal parsi, they can be used as a curtain in front of the door. V'nefasai, or they can be used as a sifter, as a filter for flour. El shasham v'shal gemi, l'may chazi, what are they usable for? Answers the Gemara, chazal nesyaisa. They can be used to cover up the barrel in which beer was made. A different version of this Gemara. Ikadamri, bishlam v'demand amachzolos mamish, that the one that explains, the shlokish who explained, that choytzlois mean machzolos, the choytzlois are mats. So we can understand Rav Doisa's opinion that they're all makabel tumas mes, but they're not makabel tumas medris. Because shal sham v'shal gemi, if they're made out of sham and gemi chazal nesiyosa, they can be used to cover the barrel of beer. Shal sak v'shal sfira chazal leparas v'nathnasai, those can be used either as a curtain or they can be used to filter the flour, sift the flour. Elamand Amemar Zboili, according to Rav Avdimi, who explained that they're this knapsack, Bishlam Shasak Vishal Sfira, they're woven nicely, and that's why you could understand why the Makabel Tumah. The Chazal Gulk Vitsani, because you could use them for different materials to hold. What could you put on them? And if you can't put anything in them, then they don't have a base kibul. And if they don't have a base kibul, we keep on repeating, they're not subject to tumas mess. Answer the Gemara, chazil kansi de peri. They can be used for larger barrels or kalim in which you have fruit. Tanya amram chananya. Kshirati l'goyla, when I went to the goyla in order to be ma'aber the chaydish, matzasi, as the Gemara teaches us in Masech the Brachas, Rav Chananya lived in Eretz Yisrael, but he went to Chutz Laretz to be ma'aber the chaydish to decide if the month should be a 29-day month or 30-day month. Matzasi zaken echad, I found Talmud Chacham, Vamali Masachim B'Budja. He told me that you're allowed to use Budja. Budja is a type of mat. He said such a mat can be used for Schach. Shabbos Yetzir B'Shua Achi Abba. And when I came to B'Shua, the brother of my father, Hoidel Dvarov, he agreed to that Psak. Amar Rav Chisda, to which Rav Chisda commented, this that you just taught us, we may use Machzelis for Schach, the less legendafa, that it doesn't have a rim around it. Because once it has a rim, it's royal kabotoma, and if it's royal kabotoma, even if it's not Thomas Medris, but as soon as it's royal kabotoma, even Thomas Mess, it can't be used for schach. Amma ula, hani bedusu de b'nei mechuzo, the mats that were used by the people of mechuzo, the Mali Kirshalahan, if not for the fact that they have a rim around them, Besachben, they would be usable for Schach. Because they're not meant for laying on. But once they have the rim, so it has a base kibul, and once it has a base kibul, as we keep on repeating, it's Roy, it's usable for receptacle, and if it's usable for receptacle, it's Makabal Tomo. Tanya Nami Hochi, Mesachem Bebudja, Vim Yeshlam Kir, if they have a rim, they may not be used for schach because at that point they're mekabel tuma. So, as we learn this Gemara, of course, the question that comes up, very commonly asked question, Hilchos Sukkos, is we have these schach mats. And the question is, may we use schach mats for schach? So, Magen Avraham says that in a place where schach mats, were meant to lay on, even if somebody expressly made the schach, the mat, not for that purpose, the halacha would be that they may not be used for schach because of maris ayin. Because if we are in a place where mats are meant to lay on, and somebody's laying on the mat, we have no way of, that somebody's using a mat, even though he made the mat for schach, we going by don't know that that was the purpose of what this person did. And therefore, because of Maris Ayin, says the Magen Avraham, it may not be used for Schach. The Bi'a Locha over there says that's only when the men, that in this place, people lay or sit on the mats. And therefore, since people lay or sleep on mats, we have the Magen Avraham's concern of Maris Ayin. But in a place where nobody uses mats for sleeping on, or everybody uses the mats for a different purpose, we could use them for schach. Particularly if they're made in a way that nobody uses it for any other purpose. In other words, if you have a mat that nobody uses it for a different purpose than for schach, the concern of Maris Ayin isn't there. And since the concern of Maris Ayin isn't there, you would be allowed to use it for schach. And just like, says the Prima Godim, we discussed the other day in the Shir about Gzeres Tikra, where Chazal said that you may not use very wide boards for schach, because they used to use those boards for roof. But we learned in a place and a time where those types of boards are not used for that purpose, they may be used for schach. So too, bizman hazeh, since nobody uses such types of machzelis for laying or sleeping on, so I saw that the Shas Tshuvas Oz Nidbru in Chelik Beis Simon Samach Vav and Chelik Yud Beis Simon Lamed Hey says that they're not meant for sitting or standing on, and the halacha is that they can be used for schach. But one of the issues that come up on such a schach is what's going to be the halacha, how the schach mats are kept together with string. So we have to be very careful that the string that's used for the schach mat is not a string that's mekabel tuma. And therefore, what should be used to keep the schach mat together is like wood strips. Wood strips are certainly, as we just finished learning, a cleats, and it doesn't have a receptacle. And a cleats that doesn't have a receptacle is not meant to be used, is not mekabel tuma, and that's why you should be careful to use that type of a string to keep your mat together. I did see that the Shevet HaLevi and the Chalkas Yaakov both take the approach that you could be mekel and allowed to use a schach mat, but the Chalkas Yaakov says he doesn't want to use a schach mat because he wants to follow the minig. He wants to use the same type of schach that was used in all previous generations. And if that wasn't the schach that was used in previous generations, he doesn't want to use that schach either, even though halachically it's perfectly acceptable. Hadron loch sukkah, hadron loch sukkah, hadron loch sukkah. Says the Mishnah, Yoshen tachas mita b'sukkah. If somebody sleeps under a bed in the sukkah, lo yotze hidei chavosai, the bed in the sukkah is meant as is an oil, and as we learned earlier in our Masechta, that somebody who sleeps in a separate oil in the sukkah is not sleeping in the sukkah. And since he's not sleeping in the sukkah, he's not yoitza mitzvah sukkah. The Rishonim all point out that even though our Mishnah speaks about sleeping, it's not only sleeping, it's eating and eating as well. So why did the Mishnah speak about a yoshin? To teach us that sleeping in the sukkah is an essential part of the mitzvahs of sukkah. Another pshat is the Kav Chaim explains very simply. Nobody eats under a bed, but people, as we'll see in the Mishnah in a moment, may lay down under a bed. Another pshat that the Teres Yisrael explains is that by eating, as we have learned already in Masech the Yuma, under certain circumstances, one may eat chutz l'sukkah. But there's never a heter to sleep chutz l'sukkah. Because even if somebody is just taking a shinas arai, he's just taking a nap, we need to be concerned that the shinas arai will turn into a shinas kva, will turn into a full-fledged sleeping session. And therefore, it says sleeping, because during Yom Tov Sukkot, there's never a heter to sleep outside of the sukkah. But says the Mishnah, Amar Yehuda, we would sleep out under the bed in the sukkah of Nezakenim, and they didn't say anything to us. So the fact that we slept under the sukkah is clearly an indication that one may sleep under a bed. And the pshat in the Mishnah is because it's not really meant as an oil. It's not meant to sleep. It's not meant to sleep under a bed. And since it's not meant to sleep under a bed, it's not considered as if you're sleeping in a separate oil in the sukkah. Amar Shimon, Masv Tevde Evdei Shir Rabbi Gamliel. There was once an episode with Tevi who was the Evi Kanani of Rabbi Gamliel. Shai Yoshin Tach Samita. He was sleeping under the bed in the sukkah. V'amal Rabbi Gamliel Zakenim. Risim is Tevi Avdei. Tevi Avdi, do you see Tevi, my servant? Shutamet Chacham. He's a Tamet Chacham. Yedei Shavodim Paturim in a Sukkah. He's aware that Avodim apart from a Sukkah, because as the Gemara says that Avodim have the same halachic status as Noshim as women, and women are exempt from sitting in the Sukkah because the Sukkah is Mitzvah Sasei's Man Groma. And therefore, since he knew that Avadim don't have to sit in the sukkah, Lefikach Yashinu Tachsamita, that's why he slept under the bed, because he doesn't have to fulfill the mitzvah. So from this we learned, he says, Lefid Devreim Lemadnu, and based on this we learned, She Yashin Tachsamita, if you sleep under the bed in the sukkah, Lo Yotzi Yidei Chavasoi, you have not fulfilled your mitzvah. And that's why only Tevi, who was an Evi Kanani, and is not Mechuyiv to sleep in the sukkah, slept under the bed. Everybody else off as potter. So why did he sleep in the sukkah? If he's not mechuyev in the sukkah and sleep under the bed. So the Yishalmi says, because he wanted to hear what the Talmid HaChachamim were speaking about, the retire in the sukkah. He was a Talmud Chacham, and therefore he slept under the sukkah to be able, on one hand, hear what was being discussed, but on the other hand, not take up any room from anybody else. The Yerushalmi also points out that even though Noshim and Avadim are exempt from sitting in the sukkah, as we just explained, because it's a mitzvah seishes man grama, they may sit in the sukkah. And in fact, the Ran points out that a woman or ever who goes into the sukkah can make the bracha of leishim sukkah. So if that's the case, ask the Yerushalmi, so why didn't Tevi sit in the sukkah to get the mitzvah that a Noshim and Avadim could get? So as we explained, the Yerushalmi says there wasn't enough space in the sukkah because there were many rabbonim in the sukkah, and therefore took Tevi slept under the bed to make room for those who are mechuyev in the mitzvah. But he wanted to stay there to continue to hear the retirement that were being discussed. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos tells us that women are obligated to light Hanukkah candles, even though Hanukkah obviously is a mitzvah seishes man grama, because of afhein hoyibayisanes. They were part of the Nes Hanukkah, and since they were part of the Nes Hanukkah, they should light Hanukkah candles. So ask Tosfos, so if that's the case, that there's a concept of afhein hoyibayisanes, women should be mechuyiv to sit in the sukkah, because they also were part of the Nes of the Anani Kavod that we said on Dafir Aleph is the reason we sit in the sukkah. So the answer to this question, says the Chasam Sofer, is based on the Gra. We said that we asked, why is Sukkot only celebrated Tezvav Tishrei? And the Gra explained, the reason it's only celebrated on Tezvav Tishrei is because that's when the Sukkot came to Klal Yisrael. Because he says Klal Yisrael had Mechilas Avonis, the Mechilas of the Chet Egel on Yom Kippur. Moshe Rabbeinu came down the day after Yom Kippur from Shemayim and told them that they have to build the Mishkan. And by Tezvav Tishrei, they had everything they needed to build the Sukkah, to build the Mishkan, and that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought back the Nanei Kavod. But says the Gra, says the Chasam Sofer, women did not participate in the Chet Egel. Since women didn't participate in the Chet Egel, they didn't have all of these punishments. So that's why, even though they were part of the Nes, the special Nes that the Anani Kavod left and came back, didn't apply to women. But ask the Gemara, a bed, under the bed, doesn't have 10 tefachim. And therefore, if it doesn't have 10 tefachim, as we've learned in our Masechta, unless there's a height of 10 tefachim, it's not an oil. So why may someone not lay under the bed? And it says the Gemara, Tergum Shmuel, that the bed that's being referred to in our Mishnah is Vemita Asara, a bed that does have 10 tefachim, and therefore since it's a bed that has 10 tefachim, it's considered oil, and you can't sit under that bed and be Mekayim Mitzvah Sukkah. So the two interesting questions I saw based on this. The Shas Tshuvas Kinyan Torah, the Shas Tshuvas Shevet Alevi discuss if somebody sleeps on a bunk bed, could you sleep on the bottom bed if there's 10 tefachim between the bottom bed and the top bed? So the Shas Tshuvas Kinyan Torah says that it would be exactly the case that we just learned in our Gemara, that since there's 10 tefachim, whenever you have 10 tefachim, it's considered a separate oil and you can't sleep there. The Shalos HaTshuvos Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Zayin, Simen Lamed Vav, disagrees. And he says that even though there are 10 tefachim between the bottom bed and the upper bed in a sukkah, in a bunk bed, but the bottom bed was meant to sleep on. It's a bed. And therefore, since it's meant for that purpose, that's why it's considered you could sleep on a bunk bed. Because not like the other structures, which are clearly separate structures that are in the sukkah that you can't sleep on. Another interesting shaila I saw is an interesting psak from the Brisker Rav Zutzal. He says, if it starts to rain in the sukkah, could somebody open up an umbrella and sleep and sit under the umbrella? Since the halacha is that an umbrella is certainly not considered an oil, certainly not considered an oil kva, an umbrella is not meant to be there on a regular basis. It's not meant to stay under a regular basis. It's not firm, and it's not your tfachim. The halacha is that you could sit under an umbrella. He says two very important points. One is you shouldn't say Elisha b'sukkah if the way you're sitting in the sukkah is by sitting under the umbrella. That's not what one should do. And furthermore, if somebody's sitting under an umbrella, during Yom Tov, we know we're not supposed to open up an umbrella. So if you're going to want to rely on this heter, you should either have the umbrella open from before Yom Tov or just use this heter on Chol HaMoed. And the Mefarshim point out that that's exactly what the Brisker Rav used to do when it rained on Sukkos.